it's not surprising that it took place now, because pressure has been building in London, in the UK, and I think in many cities across the world, feeling the impacts of austerity, which manifests really around housing and land values. Inequalities are growing and they're stark, and people are angry. It's culminated in these protests, and I imagine it won't be the last one we see around these issues.
Interestingly, the protests took place in Shoreditch, which is an area of London right next to the City of London, which is full of huge buildings and obviously capital and a lot of money and investment. But the target that the media focused on, the target of this protest, was a so-called hipster cafe called the Serial Killer Cafe, which serves up breakfast cereals to people. Do you think that the protesters were right to target these so-called hipster cafes and businesses in their fight against gentrification?
It's difficult. It's understandable, because what these cafes represent, they're symbolic of the inequalities that exist, because a cereal bar can seem very whimsical and also very indulgent, as people are experiencing the extremes of austerity when it's £3.50 for a bowl of cereal in this bar. So you can understand that people are expressing their anger towards cafes such as this. Whether it's effective in terms of fighting gentrification, or whether it's targeted the source is another question. The danger in targeting these places is that it obscures the real inequalities that are causing the current situation, the flows of capital, changes in welfare. They're the real issues, and I think we can get distracted from those.
What are the processes that lead to gentrification, do you think?
There's been much debate around this, whether it's a cultural process or an economic process. And it's ultimately, for me, I say it's an economic process. Gentrification relates to land value and housing privatisation. As housing becomes more of a kind of global financial product, value and profit can be made around housing, around land values, which means that people are occupying spaces will be moved out if profit can be made. And they're the kind of real forces in gentrification, and government policies that in various ways support those processes happening. So whether that's around supporting housing, mortgages, home ownership.
So like the right to buy scheme, for instance, that started under Margaret Thatcher.
Exactly. Processes such as that, which encourage housing privatisation, housing consumption, but also another process which retracts the provision of social housing and that protection. Because for many years, social housing was the buffer against eviction and displacement for much of the 20th century. And we've seen that really being eroded in terms of how many new social houses are being built, but also in housing benefits and welfare that's paid to the poorest members of society. And evictions are at record levels in the UK. It's 115 evictions a day, the Ministry of Justice estimate, and most of those are caused by rent arrears, and many of those, that will be the result of welfare changes for many of those arrears as well. So those processes are happening simultaneously, which all comes down to the privatisation and commodification of housing, which is driving gentrification. The difficulty is, if those developments happen and people don't have the finances to take part, then they'll feel that. And I think that that's what's been happening in London, is that people are angry or feel excluded from the processes of gentrification which are taking place because it's not in their benefit.
So the victims of gentrification are essentially poor people, and the poverty gap is getting wider and wider in places like London and other big cities across Europe.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and it's set to get worse as we experience greater aspects of austerity, and the emergency budget will come into effect in April next year in the UK. And again, we'll see that affect homelessness even more so there, because there'll be greater benefit cuts introduced at that time.
This issue of class, this kind of the haves and the have-nots, has become much more pressing. Does it have something to do with the current government, which is mostly made up of people who went to private school, relatively moneyed backgrounds, most of them white and middle or upper middle or aristocratic class?
Exactly. When you give the example of the government, we know class is very much alive and well. You know, we have these established kind of class political elites who govern. And we know that class exists and produces profound inequalities. And I guess we maybe need to think about the source of those inequalities more, and whether it is something we can identify and measure around housing and ownership of land and who's profiting from that, and who's been exploited through those processes. So looking at the labour process is one way of understanding and defining class. But given that these inequalities are around housing and land issues, perhaps we need to include that in our understanding about who benefits from this, but also who's creating the policies in government and in these political elites that support that to happen, you know, who benefits directly from privatisation of property and who's involved in these investments with these companies and so forth.
What do you think the end result will look like for cities like London of this gentrification process?
If it keeps on going in the way that it has so far, we are going to see a process of social cleansing and a hollowing out of poorer groups, benefit claimants, migrant groups, families that are all been pushed out of London. Now the question is, what can be done to change that at the moment? And that seems, well, housing is a key issue. Jeremy Corbyn has raised it in his electoral speech. It's been discussed in many other forums. Whether this is now a point in which we introduce rent regulations or reforms around housing. So they're really important discussions that we need to begin to have, because it's a major source of inequality, as we can see. And as I said, this protest will probably be one of many to come otherwise.